call that radio. And we are live. Live from Glasgow. And I believe we can go live to Liverpool to speak to Louisa from She's Ringing the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going, Louisa? Hold on, I've got an echo.
Got no stuff.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Apart from the world being insane, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. As we talk, we're just wanting to have a wee laid-back chat about the new album and the UK tour that you've got coming up. But it'd be rude of us not to mention Elf in the Room that England's burning.
Yeah.
And, luckily, as touch wood, it's not affected Scotland yet, but it's been naive to think it might not. But yeah, Liverpool's affected as well. What's going on? Is it actually wild in there? Or?
Yeah, it's been like really bad. Obviously, there was a peaceful protest, and then there was like obviously loads of like fascist agitators turned up, and like loads of places got trashed. A library got burnt down. Like a man's been stabbed. People have had petrol thrown on him. It's like horrific. It's really bad, and I think it's a bit of a shock to people in Liverpool, because it's never been like that. Like it's just not what you expect. So I think it's a bit of a wake up call, maybe.
Yeah, I heard that it was a library got burned down, and also was it Liverpool that the Citizens Advice Bureau that got burned down as well, or is that somewhere else?
I did see that happened somewhere. I'm not sure if that was Liverpool. People are like not going into work and being told to stay at home from work, and the community events are being cancelled and stuff like that because it's a scary like climate at the moment. So, yes, awful.
And as we were talking, since it's Tuesday, 6th of August, for him listening maybe later on, there's a warning that tomorrow's going to be a big day I'll actually bring up the places, because obviously, you know, everything from Aldershot, I'll bring up the screen of all the places down to Wigan. Seems to be lots of different places that the far right have arranged, and obviously anti-fascists and are going out to counter it. And I'll just bring the audition as well. I don't know if Liverpool's on that list. Let me just see.
Yeah,
it was strange. It's actually somebody said that there was going to be a Glasgow was initially was supposed to be something happening this Saturday, I think, and then it got put back. And then they're talking about the 7th of November for Glasgow. The 7th of September. Sorry, which it just seems quite strange. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but. I mean, George was talking earlier, maybe the idea is to get more support on the ground to then send people to Glasgow. I don't know. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any mention of Glasgow, but there's a whole bunch of places here and here as well. So I understand this is B. Dolan that shared that. So it's this is where the far right are supposed to be going to be, and this is where anti-fascists will be meeting them head on, and as anti-fascists have organised, and I will just people that are just disgusted by all are all going to be meeting on the 7th of September to 1 hour before the rest. So a lot of folks at the Merseyside Refugee Centre, apparently. That's where it's going to be. It may kick off again tomorrow.
Okay.
Wild, and just for people that maybe don't know, I think the last time you were on this show was ages ago, it was a few years ago, and we're just talking about how Liverpool kind of sort of sticks to its own rules. It's like the People's Republic of Liverpool, you know, it's the only place in the world where you can't sell the Sun newspaper, that is very anti-Tory. So, like you said, it's just like shocked then.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, very much so. There is like a big feeling of all of that in Liverpool, but I think there is also a different type of Scouser that is pulled along with everything that's you know, the narratives that have been going on. And I don't know, it's kind of like if you run an election on out, like, gunning each other on who's going to be the harshest on immigration, and that's what the stories are going around in the media, and the media paints the same picture. I don't know, it makes a climate for it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The whole election was kind of run on a who can be the most racist to, and then we've got, I mean, this is actually, I've seen Libby shared this earlier on, and this is quite an old meme. I think I've seen variations of this for many years going over, but it's sort of the same idea.
Mm.
You've got Rupert Murdoch saying, "We're a big bat." For anyone who's listening to the audio podcast, you've got Rupert Murdoch, "We're a big," well, I think it's Rupert Murdoch or a lookalike.
Yeah.
"We're a big plate full of cookies." And then you've got a guy in a high vis and a hard hat with one cookie. And then Rupert Murdoch saying, "Careful, that foreigner wants your cookie."
Yeah.
And that has been the whole campaign. And you've got the people with Nigel Farage, who he has only been an MP for 2 weeks in his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He notoriously fails every time he tries to run for as a councillor. I know he was a European MP as a guy who was against Brussels, but so it was a kind of protest vote. But the amount of times he's been on Newsnight to just start conversations when, I mean, apart from being friends with bankers, I mean, I don't really understand why his opinions were given so much importance.
Mm.
Was it just to benefit and have these conversations about, because, I mean, you've got a song called Class War, but we never talk about class, do we? We never talk about,
yeah.
It always seems to be immigration. And this goes right back to, remember Ed Miliband, it was talking about immigration. It's like, so there's always a conversation, but
yeah,
they always, that is what everybody wants to talk about, and they have talked about non-stop.
Yeah.
And then they're also, we're talking about with regards to the cost of living crisis, and, you know, you've got people who are maybe coming through tough times, who are maybe ignorant in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah.
In certain things.
The standard of living keeps on falling, doesn't it, as well?
And they're being told, this is who's doing it.
Yeah.
I
think there's a lot of like rich people protecting their assets and stoking the fire, and quite happy to watch all of this go down because no one's looking at them.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. But yeah, good luck to everybody that's on the right side, that's on the left side, not the right side, but on the correct side.
Yeah.
And hopefully. Yeah, hopefully things calm down. I mean, England in the summer tends to like a riot, didn't they?
Mm, when the footy's not on.
there's no football. So there's all that pent-up energy seems to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great to have you on the show. I wanted to ask you about the new album and the tour coming up. Apparently my voice is a bit low on the microphone. I've turned it up. Let me know, guys, if that's a wee bit better. But yeah, so the new album, I've heard two songs from it, is that right? I've heard Howl.
Yeah.
All things Pass.
Howl and Nothing Lasts.
Nothing Lasts, sorry.
Nothing Lasts.
Nothing Lasts.
Yeah.
And Howl's... absolute banger, one of the best things I've ever heard you do. But kind of in the She Drew the Gun, it makes sense in the She Drew the Gun universe. But then the Nothing Lasts is just it's still a banger, but caught me by surprise.
Mm.
It's like a kind of, what was it, would you say 80s synth banger, or what?
Yeah.
What kind of vibe were you going for?
I mean, it's kind of like, When I wrote it, I kind of felt like it was a bit in the Roy Orbison vibe, but then when we made the demo, it just ended up, Cole, my son, ended up putting a string arrangement on it, and then it kind of went into like a little bit of the pop world, and then that just like came out even more in the studio, and it went a bit 80s, and like, yeah, with the big 80s synth and stuff like that. So yeah, it just kind of evolved to be like that, really.
And where was you? Where did the album get recorded? Have you been in?
Yeah, it's I made loads of demos at home, and then we were like, okay, got an album here, I think, and then went down to Margate and recorded it with Ash Workman. He's got a studio down there, so ended up doing a load of trips to Margate, which was dead nice. A little apartment there, looking over the beach and stuff, which was lovely, just what I needed. And yeah, it was great to work with him. He did bring like a lot of pop, kind of. I mean, there's quite a lot of pop in the album. So I'd say it's probably most pop one, yeah. He's worked with like Metronomy and Christine and the Queens, and he's like, he's got a good ear for that kind of thing. So it was just like, it was a nice kind of working together. And had like various bandmates come down at different times. And my son came down, recorded on the album. It's the first time he's been involved in She Drew the Gun stuff. So that was really nice.
Oh, brilliant. Wait, is your son?
He's 18.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah. So he's studying production and songwriting and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was really nice.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Is he working on his own stuff? Or?
Yeah, actually, he works on his own stuff all the time. He just can't get, he's not quite got to the point of releasing stuff yet, but
yeah,
he will do.
Oh, that's brilliant. And so who else is there any other wee cameos on the album?
There's no like features or anything like that. Yeah. We had Sean on drums. Anna played bass, and Jimmy Moon on guitar.
The legendary Jimmy Moon.
Yeah.
How does it work? Do you just do all the home demos yourself, and then send it to everyone else? And
yeah, kinda.
Do you have an idea what you want Jimmy to do, or does Jimmy just do what Jimmy does?
Kind of have an idea, but open to like letting stuff happen in the studio.
Yeah,
and just, you know, seeing what sounds good when we're there.
How many songs do you make in the home demos before you go, right, I'm ready to go to Margate?
I think we had like 14. It's like me and Cole made the demos with me, kind of like engineered them, and then we just like work out what bits things need, and then it was like we had like 14 songs, and then it ended up whittling that down.
That's what I'm thinking now as well. 14. And then you can take four off to make it a 10-track album.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing a 10-track album, though, they know, aren't they?
I know. But all like the hip-hop people and stuff like that, they do like 20 tracks, don't they?
I've done that as well, but you can cheat with a skit. And yeah, also, you can, and features, you know, yeah, anyway. So I feel like you could do more with hip-hop, but even the hip-hop, I've noticed, has sort of slowed it down because of the rise in people wanting to release content more often, shorter songs, shorter albums, yeah, then like you can maybe get away with putting it on the next album or stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm hearing, is shorter songs is in because people listen to it twice.
Shorter everything.
Yeah,
everything's shorter, isn't it? Yeah.
The podcast started about 4 hours. I remember John Lockton was we did a 12-hour one night, and. But yeah, that one exists somewhere, but I made it private straight up as soon as I woke up with a hangover going, oh my God, no. I mean, I don't mind having a beer on here from time to time, but no 12 hours of beer, man. That fills me with dread, what I was saying. But yeah, everything does get shorter. What's the inspiration? Is there a kind of concept holding this all together, or have you just got 10 of your best tracks at the moment?
There is a bit. It was like it's kind of like it's almost like two mini albums. So each side of the vinyl is like. I went through a lot of stuff and like had a bit of heartbreak, had a bit of dark night of the soul, and like had to go through like a bit of a healing journey. And like one side of the album is like the heartbreak kind of thing that happened, the personal kind of stuff, and then the other side is like the more conscious like political stuff that I do as She Drew the Gun, maybe it's a little bit more mystical in this album than it was on the last album. The last album was a bit more like direct, like calling out greedy MPs and landlords and the rest of it. And then this album's a little bit more like in the vein of like Howl, where it's a bit more mystical, talking about, I don't know, dreams and how we've come through our ancestry to be where we are and things like that. It's a bit of a mixed bag, but yeah, so it's got these two sides to it. And I think like it was like the heartbreaky stuff that led me to have to change and look in the mirror and, you know, work out a lot of stuff. And it was like kind of opened up a portal for me to like kind of go into my own world and discover more about myself. And then I feel like it was like one side's the trauma and one side's the thing that opens up to you, kind of thing. It's not as black and white as that.
Yeah,
they mix in between each other, but yeah, like that's the kind of idea.
But yeah, this is sort of you just felt natural to put five songs together that kind of work better together, and then side B, which I just brought up. She'sRootTheGun.com. I'll put a link in the description for anyone who wants to pre-order the album, and it's the vinyl. It's good that you've got it all thought out. The vinyl's already thinking. So how long? What is the waiting time now for vinyls at the minute? Because the last time I checked, it was ages.
It's not as long as it was, I don't think.
I suppose all the 1% top artists have ran out of things to reissue.
yeah, everything's been reissued. So. It's opened things up again.
Yeah, good. I think it was maybe especially during this sort of the lockdowns and stuff like that, because there was a lot of middlemen who weren't getting paid and they wanted to reissue stuff. So I think it went really bad at that point. So how long did? Because I think it was the last time I checked, it was 6 months or something.
I think it's like 16 weeks or something.
Right. Okay. Still quite far ahead for me to plan. But yeah, you know, I'm doing that from purely pit. Selfish reasons, because I'm thinking about when are we going to be ready to do it, to put the order in. So we know what it looks like. We know it's on the website, isn't it? So I'll just bring that back on the screen. So we go to the official store, and we can see where it'll be. Under music, I take it, or merch.
You should get there. I think at the bottom it's on its own. That's the CD, and you can get a cassette.
So, yeah, they're coming back.
Yeah.
I'm hearing. So yeah, that was Cisco. It's so cool. Who did that work?
Scott Jones, who I've worked with on other stuff on the last album and the album before that, and like he did the Howl video as well. And yeah, he's great. We just talked loads about the concept and like loads of art that's kind of like related to it and the symbolism in it and stuff like that, and then ends up with the artwork as it is.
Brilliant. I've got a wee live thing that you sent me. I'm going to need to play that just for anyone that doesn't. I don't want to play one of the music videos just in case the YouTube copyright posts interrupt us. So, but I do have a video here. What is this? It's a live. It looks like a live thing. Would you like to? So it's Howl, since you mentioned Howl.
It's only like a minute of it, but this is the first verse of Howl.
The first verse of Howl. Let's go for it.
Subatomic particles, dark matter couldn't limit me. Blessed at the dawn of space, time, and symmetry. Destined to be formed in the belly of divinity. A symphony of celestial mechanics. Asteroid moons pulling tides across granite. Gravity sparked fusion of interstellar parts. Exploded in the hearts of long dead stars. I was there. When Mother Earth was just a daughter, came up from the darkness, the life force in the water, crawled out the ocean in microscopic form amongst the spiders and the scorpions. I was born, I transformed all the secrets held in the double helix, waiting in genetic mutations to reveal its most exquisite artistry. consciousness arising. Do you think that I would run?
Superb. For Howl, a wee acoustic version of Howl taken from the forthcoming album Howl. Get it pre-ordered just now. It's such a tune. So when you talk, what were your mysticism? Do you want to elaborate on that anymore?
Yeah, I can do. I think, well, I can't say next to us, dog is doing me anything, but there's like that all the time when the owners go up, but it means that we can blast our music as loud as we want whenever, so it's okay.
Well, do you know what? I've got a neighbour who, the downstairs neighbour, that guy plays tunes all, like I think he may be a busker or something. He's got like a greatest hits of covers. I can recognise the songs, and then I think Sundays is his techno night. He plays a bit of techno on the Sunday. The rest of his the greatest hits, and it doesn't bother me obviously because you live in a city. It's what it is. I've definitely got some loud noise karma coming to me. I'm saying nothing. I'm not that bad. But the guy downstairs is so noisy that the guy upstairs is now starting to bang down on me. I'm just a normal innocent man. But continue.
Went a bit mystical. One was, it got manifested by someone.
Did you tell us or did I read about this? But yeah, please, I'd like you to explain that again.
Down the rabbit hole, or doing the rabbit hole. So I walked into the bar, which was like quite far out, and that like you wouldn't really go there unless you like had a purpose or whatever. And then I walked in, and then the person that was behind the bar was like, Louisa, and I was like, yeah. And then they were like, oh my god, I knew you'd come in today. And like it was this person, it's now a friend, Lauren, but she was just like, she manifested me in the morning. She was like, the only thing that's going to make, because she had some trouble at doing, but then she was like, the only thing that's going to make this okay is if Louisa comes into the bar. She's going to come into the bar and I'm going to pour her a pint. And then I walked into the bar and she poured me a pint. And then she told me about like a space that she'd been creating for people to go when they needed somewhere to go. And she was telling me the story about it and I just burst out crying. And she was like, do you need somewhere to go? And I was like, yeah, I've been looking for somewhere to go. So I ended up being the first person that went to visit her in this place, which is in the mountains in Portugal, which was really special. And then, because the land is really healing and it was something that I needed to do at the time. And then, the other kind of like thing that's happened that's been quite surreal is like I got into meditation and started doing a course on that, working with thoughts, which I thought was just going to be like good for like stress, anxiety and stuff like that. And then like a little bit into it, it was like, and now we're going to ask for a guide and stuff like that. And then I was like, okay. And like, well, actually the first thing was like, meet your inner critic. So it was like going into a guided meditation, visualizing your inner critic and having a conversation with them.
Yeah.
So I had a conversation with my inner critic who said that, and I was like, what are you doing? How are you trying to help me? And they were like, you've got a dam of shame and I'm just trying to stop it from spilling out because God knows what's going to happen if that happens. And then I was like, okay. So I could like go into my imagination, have a conversation with another like entity, whatever it is, even if it's just part of my mind, it doesn't matter. It's given me something to work with. And then I just ended up going a bit further with that and like connecting with lots of like past versions of me that were like kind of still in the place where I was at certain times in my life, and then I had to like connect with them and share a moment with them or whatever, and yeah, so it went on a bit of a like really surreal inner journey, which kind of led to a bit of mysticism and a bit of like, and then just going a bit into depth and that a little bit like spiritual.
So serendipity. Coincidences. And sort of that woman's working at the bar at Down the Rabbit Hole. It's just like she just kind of said yes, and obviously it would have been I think a few people with a tough shift that weekend. So it'd been like she just went, yeah, I'm gonna, and she had this place in Portugal. So have you been to the Portugal yet? And it just healed you.
Yeah, I've been a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah.
And I plan to go back again. I mean, I wouldn't say that just healed me, but that's been part of the journey, definitely.
Was that still in the, were you still in the writing process when that was happening?
I was doing morning pages. I was just starting to do my morning pages when I was there.
Is that journaling?
Yeah, journaling, trying just like write every morning, when you're just like, you just try and like write 3 pages, whatever comes out. So that was kind of the start of that. I knew my life wasn't where I wanted it to be, and that I wasn't where I wanted me to be. So I kind of started doing that. And so that was like the first time I went there. And then the second time I went there, I was just like, I was just like stopped and just meditated in the land. And other weird things happened when I was there. Like, I don't want to sound like mad, but other things happened. Like I did a guided meditation where you're supposed to close your eyes, but I kept my eyes open because it was like, imagine yourself in a beautiful surrounding, a beautiful field or whatever, and I was like, I'm sitting here in these mountains. It couldn't be any nicer than this. So yeah. I just kept my eyes open, and it was like, ask for a guard. And like a ladybird came and landed on me. And I know you're supposed to ask it if it's your guard. And then I asked it if it was my guard, and it bit me. Bit me on the arm. So I was like, okay. Looks like a ladybird is my guard. For some reason, God's little cow, apparently they're called in Ireland. And then weird things have happened like since then. Like a dead ladybird showed up to kind of tell me something, and I don't know when things have happened. A ladybird has been around, which is mad.
Which is very mad because you don't see them a bit that often these days. I don't know if it's maybe because when you're a child, you're younger, you're smaller, you're more curious, and you're maybe looking on the ground more as well, I suppose. Or if it's something to do with global warming, or I don't know. But you just don't see ladybirds kicking about as much as you used to.
Yeah.
Or bees as well, is another one. Yeah. I remember you used to think that bees were the bad guys. You used to scare the bees. And it was like, moan the bees.
Yeah.
We're always happy to see a bee. It's funny you mentioned the guard thing. So I remember just shortly after my father passed away, I was in the Iowa Mall, and we'd already booked it. And I think because of lockdown, we had to rebook it about 4 times. But then there was like, no, this is your last chance. So we went there, and then there was a little, a wee robin. They kept on following me around. And it was like really weird because it was, you know, birds normally just fly away. It was just basically sitting next to me for ages. And then we googled, what does it, a robin mean? And then all that. Oh, it's, you know, it's a someone from the afterlife, isn't you, whatever. And that's what it actually means, apparently, for the robin. So, I mean, you know, I like to stay quite open-minded. You say, I'm quite skeptical as well. I'm skeptical when someone wants to charge me money to give me their opinion on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite cool. I think it's cool regardless. And I'm going back to meditation. So that's something that I'd be interested in hearing. Because obviously I do get that. Because also the reason that we close our eyes and imagine things is because we usually live in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
We're normally in a scheme or something, so we want to imagine something. Yeah. But when you're actually in, when you're actually in somewhere before, how long have you been doing meditation for, and what's your advice? So, because I'm at the very early stages, I've been kind of trying it on and off for a year or two. Sometimes it's quite good for me to shut my mind off when I'm going to sleep, but I've yet to kind of sort of incorporate it. in any real way to my day to day?
I have like there's a guy that I listen to most of the time. I go back to his meditations and do the guided ones and stuff. And I suppose it's a little bit like having a teacher.
Who's that?
His name's Corey Mascara. He's like an American dude based in LA. But I think there's a few people that I've like listened to or that I follow on Instagram that I'm like, yeah, connect. I think it's whoever is like connecting with you, isn't it? I think there's a lot of people that like are trying to, you know, sell stuff on Instagram that you're like, do you know what I mean? And you don't really want to be too cliche about following people on Instagram or Instagram healing.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a whole song there somewhere.
The Insta Guru.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got to be careful about that.
The abundance it always sort of creeps into the way they're having the perfect life, and it's the abundance. Yeah. And in order to get their kind of abundance, you've just got to give them more money. Kind of like the sort of extreme evangelical preachers in the US, where it's like, yeah, God has given me money, has blessed me, so you need to bless me so that you can be blessed. Very, very, yeah.
Mm.
But there is also, that's if you take it too far, but there is obviously people that are genuinely want to share their experiences.
There's something that was like a course, so it was like a 5-week course, and you just do it every day. So that was like, and I think I did it like 3 times, wasn't it? Just went over and did it again. So that's been really good, doing something which had a structure to it, which was a different thing every day, and like allows us to think about a lesson every day. And then it's just like remembering to take time out, or to remember to like be in the moment sometimes, isn't it? And not just be in your thoughts. And like I've been going swimming a lot, and swimming, I feel like I meditate a lot when I'm swimming, and when I'm walking and stuff like that, and just like remembering to have those moments of like spaciousness kind of thing.
Are you swimming in the or is it cold water therapy swimming you're doing? Are you doing it for
no.
The Duke done?
Just down there. Just down at the gym and swim.
Yeah, I just like a normal swim. Yeah. Have you tried because that's what Joe did over the lockdown. She just, who's someone who hates the cold, just fell in love with jumping into the water and
getting
that cold thing. I think it's just a bit cold. I know that's the point, but I'm not a fan.
It is a bit cold. Like, it's a bit cold for me. I've done it a couple of times. I've done it with like Scottish weights, and they were like absolutely fine. And I was like, "Oh, use a solid."
I mean, it's good. I like it when it's. I like jumping into the water.
Yeah.
If it's a sunny day, you know, it's actually warm. It's like, oh, this is so refreshing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not really for me. I've got a couple of comments. Hold on. Who is that? Well to Scotty. Saw She Drew the Gun at Glasgow a few years back in the John Peel tent, if memory serves me. I don't know if... Oh, yeah, if John Peel tent, if... finished with Beloved cover, Sweet Harmony.
Mm.
Right, Barry?
Yeah.
That does sound about right.
Yeah, that is right.
I've seen you play that before. I think he was on drums for you.
Yeah.
At the COP26 gig.
Yeah. We stopped doing it, but then we brought it back a few times recently. It's just sometimes it feels like the right vibe.
What was Glastonbury like?
Amazing. I love Glastonbury. Like, because, we played, the first year we played was, we won the Emerging Talent competition. So that whole thing was just amazing, because it was like winning the FA Cup of like unsigned band competition kind of thing.
Yeah, we got to the long list about 8 years ago, 9 years ago or something, and we were like, that was a big deal. In fact, our local newspaper wrote about it. We didn't even get the top 10. I think it was the top 20 or something like that.
That would have been
good. I think it was the top 10 went to to play the venue or something like that.
Filton Wharton Men's Club, it was.
But we got it to the one before that.
Okay. Oh, I've got it. The one at Filton Wharton Men's Club is boss, because it's like 10 in the final, everyone plays, and then you're just waiting. And then it was like, and the winner is She Drew the Gun. And it was like, yeah.
Wow. See, it's not. There's only one band that goes through.
Yeah, one band. Oh, no, a few of the bands get to play across the stages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, it's like, it is lovely like that. But we got to open the Jan Peel stage on the Sunday. I think it was like 11:30 or something on Sunday. But it filled up as it went on, and it was dead nice. And then we came and played the Park stage the next year, I think. And then I think they had a year off, and then we came back and played the Jan Peel again. And then we went back again for the 50th anniversary one. I played the Greenpeace stage and got to see Paul McCartney as well. But I absolutely love Glastonbury. I think that the first year we played, we did like 8 gigs or something. We just played every stage that would have us.
I think the most I've ever done was we did two gigs back to back, but they were literally back to back, as in we played one part of the Edinburgh Fringe. Somebody drove us like 10 minutes or 2 minutes down the road, and then we just came out just in time to do another gig. And it's we used the exact same set. I used the exact same patter in between songs. it felt like we were cheating.
Yeah.
But it was actually a better gig. It was easier. It was an easy gig. It was like having a proper practice before you did it. So with 8 gigs, though, that's madness. So, I mean, obviously, that's over the weekend. So I suppose we have played more than, maybe 4 gigs over the weekend, By the 8th gig, are you just like smashing it, or have you run out of voice, or how are you feeling it by gig number 8?
No, because I had to save my voice because the big one was on the Sunday, so it had to be quite good. Maybe it wasn't 8. I think it might have been 6. You know, but it was a lot. We played like every day of it. I don't know how I did it, actually. I don't know if I could do that now.
What do you just mean with the gigs?
That amount of gigs.
Yeah, what was it? Why? Why though? Why just can't
do it?
Yeah. Why though? Why can't you do it? Why? I don't think I'd like to do it anymore either, but why is that? Why do we not want to do that?
I don't know. Maybe it's just like, because it was the first time, and it was like, oh yeah, we'll just do anything. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like that enthusiasm. Like, oh, we'll do all the gigs that we possibly can at Glasgow. I think maybe this time I'd just be like, let's just save it for the proper, you know what I mean?
I suppose it's excitement. So, but it is actually a bit risky. I suppose you are actually risking losing your voice by doing all those gigs. Mm-hmm. And then what if you had played the big gig and you'd done too much before it?
Yeah, I'd be really annoyed with myself.
You'd be annoyed. But is it just because it's so big? Is that why everyone wants to play as many gigs as you can? Because nobody's coming. You know, any normal festival, within reason, you just want to play your one gig and tell everyone to be there. But because you're probably clashing with Paul McCartney or whatever, you've got to play a few to try and get the right crowd.
I think maybe you just want to be seen by as many people as possible or something. And then maybe like now you're a bit more relaxed and like now you just, I don't know, because I don't know if we get asked again, like, I don't know what I'd say yes or no to, so...
You would go back. You said it was good. You'd go back if they asked you.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think it was Nadine who was talking about that she's refusing to play it this year because the fee wasn't enough, but it was. She said that she'd do it for a fee that would not break even if it was going to be televised on one of the televised stages. It's sort of Nadine Shah, yeah. So, because I suppose, do you think that's, they've been on a televised stage, do you think that's a big bump? Do you think that does make it worthwhile? Just because, I mean, I don't know what the ratings are. Do they even announce what the ratings are? Because if you're playing, obviously, if you're on the actual main channel, which I doubt you would get, what anyone would get, that it's not a bit like super famous. But when you're on the iPlayer, the red button, does anyone even know what the ratings are for that?
I don't know. But it feels like it's a big platform, doesn't it?
Definitely feels like a big deal. And you're getting high quality footage as well.
Yeah. I can see why she wanted to.
We've got CJ's in the house. Hello, CJ.
Hi, CJ.
Martin, how you doing? All right, just realised it's a man. I last seen CJ on Sunday. going off to the train. Hopefully you got same all right. And we've got Colin Simon tuned in from Ibiza. Hello to Colin and the Empress, who are living their best life in Ibiza.
Oh, they? Nice.
And Kat Jones seems saying that she's going to fix the microphone now. Stuart's here. Stuart was saying that was really nice talking about the song that you did as well. But as far as live stuff goes, you've got a big tour coming up. I'll just go bring that on the screen just now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got kicking off in Manchester. No, kicking off in Hebden Bridge. Mm. Hebden Bridge. The Trades Club, do you know, a lot of people have told me that's a cracking venue.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was actually the Amazing Snakeheads that told me that way back years ago that I should go there.
Yeah, so, definitely.
And then straight after that, where is Hebden Bridge? Is that right?
I think it's in Yorkshire. Yeah, it's in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
But Yorkshire's pretty big.
And then Glasgow on the 15th, so probably for the majority of our listeners will be going to Room 2 on February the 15th. So tickets on sale from She Drew the Gun, and then I've heard Gala Shields as well. Mac Arts, have you played there before?
No, not Gala Shields.
It's good. There's a nice crew working there. Beautiful venue yeah, as well. And then there's Gala Shields, Newcastle, Leeds, Manchester, London, Brighton, Bristol, Bedford, Birmingham. And yes, how have you done it? I'm just looking at that there. Is it kind of like one a day for 3 days? Is that how you're attacking it?
That's how it is for the first bit. And then we've got like six in a row, I think.
Wow. So. We thought, we went to 21st, 22nd, 20. Yeah. To a day off, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think about it? How does the touring come down to it? Do you leave that to the agent or how does it all come together for you?
My booking agent
does
it, and then she'll like say, "Is this okay?" And then she'll say, "What do you think about this?" And I like, "Yeah." And then that was how it happened with this. I think, yeah, six in a row. I don't think we've done six in a row on tour before, but I think it'll be all right.
It'll be great.
First, second.
I can't wait. Well, it's just the way, I think, for people that maybe aren't aware, it's like, it is better to just play. Well, I know for me anyway, it's like, we just like to play, if we're doing a wee tour or whatever, we tour it like Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm.
And then, in fact, we usually just do Friday, Saturday, and then do another two, or Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday. And it's just good to kind of sort of get the weekend to recover. But I suppose just doing it all in a row means you should be on top form. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. Like, when you start a tour, by the end of that tour, I mean, it just gets better as it goes. Like, the whole thing just gets... Everyone improves, everyone fine-tunes, and it's like, you come out of it, like... You know, proper exactly where you're meant to be. Well, I mean, obviously we'll be rehearsing beforehand and get it spot on, but
yeah,
if doing it every night.
Yeah, don't worry if you're in Hebden Bridge. It'll be good for you guys too.
Yeah,
it will be good for us as well. But yes, once you get that. The more that everyone learns the songs, is like there's that. Once you go over, like, we've got a couple of new songs in our set as well, and Saturday was the first time that they actually felt like, okay, they're now part of the set now, they live there, and now we can actually, mess about with a wee bit, you know, there's freedom to kind of improvise the tunes still, rather than, you know, the last few gigs, I've just been trying to memorise the words.
Yeah.
Luckily, I knew that they existed, so I didn't need to look at the phone, but I was still...
Yeah, yeah.
Are they there? But that's quite fun because it makes the old songs fun again because you're like, all right, I know this one. So I don't need to concentrate as much.
Yeah.
They're in the muscle memory. Yeah. But if you just do old songs all the time, it can get a bit boring. But yeah. I love to mix it up a wee bit, definitely. So before the tour, have you got any other gigs coming up? Have you got any wee warm-ups or anything happening?
We're doing a hometown gig on the 25th of August in Birkenhead at Future Yard, which is a good venue. So we've got that, playing some new tunes at that. So that'll be fun. That'll be on an outdoor stage.
See, I think you played that one before. It rings a bell.
Mm.
Yeah,
we played the first ever gig there when they opened. That was like in lockdown, and we had to do like a socially distanced gig and stuff like that. I think it was
is it all kind of local artists?
No, it's they're like touring. It's all like national touring artists. It's like the booking for bands is really great. Get like top artists on there, and they also are really good for local artists as well. There's loads of support slots, and they're just like they're good in the community, and it's only like literally over the water from Liverpool city centre. It's like 5 minutes in a taxi, or like 5 minutes on the boat, like to get across.
So, oh, you get the boat?
Yeah, you can. You get the ferry.
That sounds fun. I love it.
Yeah, the ferry across the Mersey.
Yeah, I'd love that. I don't know. Or is that the week before Lindisfarne?
It is the same week as Saltfest. Same weekend.
I'm not doing Saltfest. I did two of them back to back last year, and no, it's Lindisfarne or Saltfest.
Yeah.
It's too much. Like, there's too much. I mean, even if you take my bad decision making out of the scenario, I did everything right, it's still too much. It's too much traveling, too much jumping about. And if it rains for 2 weekends in a row, nah, I'm not doing it. I'm going to Lindisfarne though. We're playing Lindisfarne, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah.
So
I've not been to Lindisfarne yet.
Have you not?
No.
Well, if you want to come up and do, I could get you. You could do a song with us.
Do a feature on a chair.
Do the feature. Do what you did last time. You smashed it in the Rabble. No, not the Rabble. Where were we? Kilburn Garden Party. Yeah.
You
did great. Just come up and do a verse. I think I could get you on. I think we've not put in our band members yet.
Okay.
But it's good. Lindisfarne's a great vibe, man. And it's, I remember the first year or the second year, it was a bit strange because it was brand new. You know, it didn't have that history yet, or like people didn't know. But now it's amazing. It's just half Scottish, half Geordies.
Mm.
And the Geordies know how to have a good time. So it's just like, I really like it. And it's also over 18s as well. Which just gives it a wee bit of a different edge to it. Because obviously it's nice to have family-friendly festivals, but it's also good to have that as well.
Yeah.
Well to Scotty, can't wait for Lindisfarne, love it down there. Yeah, it's a great place to go. So hopefully see you there. But we're speaking up, just before when we talked about Liverpool local bands, did Michael Head just get a number one?
I think I saw something about charting or something, but
Michael Head album chart. Somebody told, I think I was where did it go? No, I didn't get number one. I've maybe made that up. It's a top 10 though.
Top 10. That's class, isn't it?
That is class. I think it was number 6.
Oh.
Number 6. Oh no, wait there, no, that, hold on. No, that was the one before. That was in 2022. He got number 6, and then number 10. Bang on number 10. But that's brilliant, though, isn't it? That's still.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. He's like Jimmy's favourite.
Yeah. He's my favourite as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to interview him or see him live. The last time I seen him, it was still Shaq, and it's just like, he's played Glasgow and Edinburgh loads of times since, but it's just always the timing's been wrong. I've always been busy with something else. Who else is, is anyone else good coming out of Liverpool just now that maybe I wouldn't have heard of that I should be keeping an eye on?
Have you heard the new Bill Ryder Jones album?
No, I don't think so.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Who else is coming at the moment? This always happens to me. I can't remember. I have a mind blank and then after.
Nah, that's okay.
Come back later.
Just leave a comment on the YouTube once it comes back to you. But that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Lisa, for joining me tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure. The new album is called Howl. It is out on... When does it actually drop?
It drops on the 15th of November.
The 15th of November, and the UK tour is 14th of February onwards. And sorry, in the middle, you might notice that I've changed camera angles because I've got new stuff. I've got like new lights and.
Yes. Snazzy.
Yeah, I've not quite figured it out yet. But yeah, thank you, Louisa, and we'll see you hopefully at Lindisfarne.
If not, yeah. Then. Nice one, Mark.
And go, everyone go get that album, go to that UK tour.
Yeah. See you on a Saturday night in Glasgow.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Room 2, definitely. Nice one.
Nice one. See you later.
All right, see you later. Bye. The brilliant Louisa from She Drew the Gun. Go and get the album. Go and get the UK tour. And thanks to the patrons who support the show at patreon.com/ecallthatradio.